Well, the Orlando Magic introducing their new president of basketball operations today. Jeff Weltman coming in. We have John Hammond coming in as the general manager. And those guys will, of course, get right to work because the NBA draft is right around the corner, free agency right after that. And there's no better guy to talk to than Kevin O'Connor, staff writer with The Ringer, about the NBA draft. I'm sure you've heard us talking about the 2017 NBA draft guide, which is up on theringer.com. Go out and check that out. Kevin joins me now here on Live Local and Loud. Kevin, really, really do appreciate it. I always catch you on the Ringer NBA Show podcast with Chris Vernon, as well as your podcast as well. So it's great for you to spend some time, or to have you spend some time with me here today. Let me start off here asking about the moves the Magic have made in the last 48 hours. It's been fast and furious with, of course, Weltman coming in, John Hammond announced yesterday. I think that it is a home run pairing for the Magic after 5 years of missing the playoffs. I don't know what experience you have with those guys, if you have any insight on it, but what do you think of these two hirings and how it'll fit here in Orlando?
Absolutely a home run pairing for the Orlando Magic. This is exactly what they needed. I mean, I think all you need to know about the two guys they're bringing in is they're the guys who went together when they were in Milwaukee and really found Giannis Antetokounmpo. He was a known player before, but that's when I think they realized he was their guy, when the trip they made to Greece to watch Giannis play. So these guys, like, they both have strong track records in the draft, and I think especially you look at Hammond's record in Milwaukee, they haven't missed on very many picks, and all those picks have been outside the top 10. So his draft record is incredible, and it seems to me that, you know, Hammond left a great situation in Milwaukee. He probably likes working with Weltman. So I think, you know, it's really a great pairing for the Orlando Magic to have these two guys in their front office working together.
Yeah, Kevin, and the case I've been making for Hammond, and 3 weeks ago when his name surfaced, I put him at the top of my list because there in Milwaukee you see a blueprint, a plan, and them executing all three of those things. And what it was, we're going to be long and athletic and just be a pain in the behind for you to play against when we're on defense. Kind of like what we saw last year with Oklahoma City against Golden State in the Western Conference Finals. That length really annoyed Golden State, albeit they did win the series. But that's what John Hammond did up there, a plan, and he executed it. The Magic haven't necessarily done that. You've seen a lot of just, we're hoping to pay off in the lottery and for us to get that top pick, top two pick or so.
No, for sure. I think that it all comes from the front office. Like, you know, the coaching staff can only coach the players that the front office provides for them. So, you know, I like, you know, a lot of the picks that Orlando made the last 5 years or so in the Hennigan era. Mm-hmm. I don't think they necessarily made poor picks. It's just some of those guys really just haven't panned out. Elfrid Payton hasn't developed his jump shot. Neither has Aaron Gordon. So it's like now they have four picks in the top 35. That's a lot of draft capital at the 6th pick, 25th pick, the 33rd and 35th, where they can move around if they want to. They can shift up into the first round, move up from 25, potentially, if a trade's available, to really target the guy that they want. And I think that amount of flexibility will be super beneficial for the Magic on lottery draft night.
Kevin O'Connor, staff writer at The Ringer, joining me here on Live Local and Loud. Check out the 2017 NBA Draft Guide. It's up there at theringer.com. And you mentioned the four picks that the Magic do have, Kevin. With what we know about Jeff Weltman and, of course, John Hammond, does that give us any kind of indication about what you think those guys are going to do in this draft? I know it's early. They just introduced one of the guys today. But kind of what their tendencies might be in the draft?
You know, Nick, it's funny. I think one thing I would think about if I'm a Magic fan is, like, they haven't been afraid to take home run swings.
No, they've got onions.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a good thing, you know, in the sense that, you know, sometimes it can be easy to pinpoint the guys who you feel confident are going to be, you know, quality NBA players. One of the hard parts is really, you know, taking that risk on a high variance player, high risk, high reward player. And, you know, the Bucks have done that with Giannis, Thon Maker. Like, Thon Maker was a very surprising pick going 10th last year. So I don't know if the Magic would do that at the 6th spot, you know, in the lottery. But look, I mean, that's kind of my logic for them. Like, with their picks, 25, 33, 35, I'd love to package two of those and move up and really target the guy that, you know, they think could completely exceed expectations of like in the 20 spot or so, or they could get that guy in any of those spots. But I think taking a mixture of safer players a la Malcolm Brogdon last year for the Bucks and more high risk prospects, it would be a really good approach for them today in this draft.
And I totally agree, Kevin. You got to start making some moves here. Try to not necessarily jumpstart rebuild 2.0, but go out and get a couple of guys you might like in this draft. Let's kind of roll up our sleeves and get into the draft. Of course, the Magic with that number 6 pick on your draft guide. You have the Magic taking Duke freshman Jason Tatum there. Why Jason Tatum in your mind at number 6? What does he bring to the Magic?
I love Tatum's game, Nick. I have him 2 on my personal board. I just think, so in the NBA today, shooting is the most important skill for, I think, really any position. But, you know, behind that, more than anything else, is like you need go-to scoring still. Like, that's still important. The league has evolved in the sense that, like, there's more motion offense, more passing, more movement, and that is all incredibly important. But you still need a guy who, you know, when the game slows down and it's late in the fourth quarter and your regular offense falls apart, you need somebody who can get you a bucket. And I view Jason Tatum as a guy who potentially could become that. So with Tatum, his feel and his fluidity, you know, scoring the ball at his age is really, really unusual. It's just 19. And I think, you know, if I'm the Magic at the 6th spot and he lands in my lap there, I'm excited because I view him as a guy that could potentially become, you know, the guy we lean on at the end of games. That's the way I would feel as an Orlando Magic.
He is Kevin O'Connor, staff writer at The Ringer. You can check out his article, which is up today at theringer.com. The 3-and-D prospect, it's a must-have archetype for the 2017 NBA draft. And in that read, you get into Florida State's Jonathan Isaac, Kevin, another guy I've seen tied to Orlando. What do you think of Jonathan Isaac's game? And let's say that Jason Tatum isn't there at number 6 or the Magic move up. Is this a guy Orlando could look at perhaps there in the first round?
I think Isaac is kind of like the flip side of the Tatum conversation. Okay. So like with Tatum, he like projects that as that go-to scoring type where you're really leaning on him to be, you know, your source of offense at the end of game situations. Where with Isaac, he's someone who really can fill in and, like, do different things for you. He's a versatile defender, and like, it's not an exaggeration to say in today's game he can defend 1-4 or 1-5. And not only that, offensively, he can fill a role as a spot-up shooter, as a ball mover, someone who plays complementary offense, cutting to the rim and doing things like that. The difference is that what I don't necessarily see with Isaac is that go-to scoring potential. I don't think he has great hands. He bobbles a lot of passes, and that's where I'm really turned off with him as a prospect. He does so many things well, mm-hmm. and he's going to be a really good player. But if I'm drafting a guy in the lottery, I want someone who can be my cornerstone, and that's why I have heavily favor Tatum over Isaac.
And here's another guy as well, Kevin, that has been mentioned when it comes to the Magic. It's Dennis Smith Jr., of course, at NC State last year. This guy I've heard can fill it up, a point guard as well, maybe not the best shooter. What do you think of Dennis Smith Jr.'s game?
Smith is someone I've had a really hard time with.
I know. I've heard you talk about him a couple of times.
he can be frustrating in the sense that he can be a little bit of a chucker as a scorer, like taking shots early in the shot clock. But on the other hand, that dude can fill it up. He can really score the ball. So like I said with Tatum, need someone who can score without needing a screen at the end of the shot clock, you know, and in situations where you need a bucket. Like last night with Kyrie Irving and the Cavaliers, LeBron James out of the game, Kyrie Irving lit it up. Dennis Smith, it's no guarantee he becomes that type of scorer, but it's conceivable. I mean, he has that scoring ability. So if I'm the Magic at the 6th spot and I want to play with like a high pick and roll, you know, go-to scoring guard, Dennis Smith certainly has, you know, incredible appeal at that spot. The problem is that he doesn't really defend quite well. His shooting is iffy. It could develop. It may not. So he definitely has upside, but at the same time, there's a greater element of risk with him compared to, I think, other prospects that we talked about, like Tatum and Isaac.
Kevin O'Connor, staff writer at The Ringer, joining me here on Live, Local, and Loud on ESPN 580. His 2017 NBA draft guide up right now at theringer.com. Go online and check that out. You can enjoy kind of the NBA comps that he has on these different players. Kevin, while you were going through this draft guide, because we've been having some fun with it on the air the last week and a half since it went up, what was the most fun, I guess, NBA comp that you came up with, either in the first or second round guys that you have here?
Me and one of the editor of the draft guide, Danny Chow, we kind of came up with old Vince Carter for Josh Hart. that's one of my favorite ones.
That's who I want to draft. I want to draft old Vince Carter. That's who I want.
Old Vince Carter is still a pretty damn good player these last 5 years. So,
yes, yes. So,
he's one of the ones that me and Danny kind of put together for him.
Well.
So yeah, we have a couple fun comps in there for these guys.
I'm looking at the Josh Hart one right now. You have Wesley Matthews and old Vince Carter there. Is this not an insult to Wesley Matthews? Like, you're throwing some shade there. There's a little shade at Wesley Matthews. You have him and old Vince Carter on the same level, no?
No, I mean, like, so I would say with these best case scenario comparisons, it's like different degrees.
Okay.
For some of these guys. So for like. De'Aaron Fox, for example, we have Mike Conley, who's a great player, John Wall, an even better player, but we also have Elfrid Payton. So, you know, Elfrid Payton is going to have a good career in the NBA, and he's going to have a sustained career. It's just a matter of, with Payton, it's the question is, will his jump shot improve? Will he improve his jump shot enough where the rest of his game can really open up? And that could be the question with De'Aaron Fox 5 years from now.
And I'll get you out on this, Kevin, but just since you mentioned Elfrid Payton, of course, he's the point guard here for the Orlando Magic. I have to say, I mean, we're 3 years in. I'm pretty much out on Elfrid Payton, and I loved him as a rookie coming in, and it was because, at the very least, no, he couldn't shoot. He played with this defensive tenacity that we have not seen really since the three-quarter mark of that rookie season. You think Elfrid Payton's going to be able to turn it around and make it in the league, though?
I mean, it depends on the degree of making. I think Payton will be in the league for a while. I think because, you know, put him in the right situation, like a defense-first team, he'll be able to defend for your team. He'll be able to make plays as a passer. But as a long-term starter, as we saw, really these last 3 years of Orlando, that's the big question. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's really the big disappointment on their return, the trade for him, trading for the 10th pick to draft him 10th. You would hope for more, and I think, really, though, we did see flashes, though, this past season.
He did
have that couple week stretch, and that's what you got to hold on to, because a lot of point guards take, you know, until they're mid to late 20s. He's 23 now, so, I mean, it could be 3 to 4 more years. And do you want to wait that long? Can you wait that long? I don't know. That's, like, the tough question, but I wouldn't give up necessarily, because some point guards take so long to develop.
All of Orlando is hoping that Elfrid Payton can turn it around, because that point guard position is so important today. He is Kevin O'Connor, staff writer for The Ringer. Go online, theringer.com. Check out his 2017 NBA draft guide. You can also check him out on The Ringer NBA Show podcast and his podcast, High Upside, as well. He actually talked about point guards and combo guards on the episode that dropped earlier this week. Kevin, man, I hope to get you on more in the future as we get closer to the draft. Thanks for the time, man.
Absolutely, Nick. Thanks so much for having me.